Well, take your Bibles, if you would, and go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Today's Sunday, July the 28th, 2024. God has a plan. That's what I kind of titled the teaching today. God has a plan, and as our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ said at the Last Supper, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Great advice, huh? You might remember on Father's Day, I taught teaching the father and son plan. This morning, we're going to consider a little bit about the kingdom of God, which is part of that great plan. But first, a little bit of a review, which is always good to review. And students of the Bible, not necessarily a casual reader, but students of the Bible can clearly see there are two phases concerning the Lord Jesus Christ's return. The first is Jesus Christ returning for his saints, for the born-again ones, where it says in Thessalonians, we'll read it in a minute, but where we'll be gathered together. We will meet him in the clouds, it says, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. The second phase is when Jesus Christ returns with his saints to the earth. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, it says in verse 10, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivered us from the wrath to come. Delivered us from the wrath to come. The wrath meaning the judgments that are coming. It says in chapter 5, verse 9, that we're not appointed unto wrath. It says in Romans 5 that we have been saved from wrath. And as you know, in chapter 4, Jesus Christ returning for his saints, for the born-again ones, where it says we will be gathered together and we will meet him in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. What a great day that's going to be. Ever since I can remember, I have heard things like we're living in the end times, this is the rapture, it's happening now, it's over with, and you know, related to things that Jesus Christ spoke about. People tell you it's happening right before our eyes. Can't you see it? And they're referring, of course, to things Jesus Christ said that's recorded in Matthew 24 and other places. There's a popular country star who just recently did an interview with a very prominent journalist about a song that he wrote, that he said God gave him the words and the music. And basically, his message is that what's recorded in the book of Revelation and in Daniel and things Jesus Christ spoke are happening now. Well, I don't know if he came right out and said it, but it's like, you know, it's all going on. And in the interview, as I watched the whole thing, and I don't recommend it, but in the interview he said how bad it is for preachers to preach that the believers are going to be gone when all hell breaks loose here on earth. And in other words, he's denying the blessed hope that we have. And in fact, he thinks that that kind of teaching is not only erroneous, but dangerous. And his logic for that is that when all this stuff is happening, that's in Daniel, that's in the book of Revelation, that Jesus Christ talked about, when all that's happening, the believers will go, oh, it's not really the end times because we're still here. And he believes that's dangerous. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I know we've looked at this before, but again, this is a little bit of a review. And apparently the song is very popular. It's a music video, and I saw just a tiny bit of the video during the interview, but I definitely, after watching the interview, I don't want to watch the video. But chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians. Now we beseech you, we lovingly implore you, brethren, born-again ones, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. In all of the critical Greek texts except Stephen's, the word Christ there is the word Lord. And the day of the Lord is not the day of the gathering together. The day of the Lord, if you work it in God's word, is associated with judgments, when Jesus Christ will do the judging. It's interesting, 1 Corinthians 4:3 says that today is man's day, when man does the judging. Well, isn't that pretty obvious? Because man, you know, does what he wants to do. People determine what's acceptable and what's not acceptable. People come up with their own standards and values. But when the day of the Lord comes, when Jesus Christ comes back to the earth, second phase of his returning, he will be doing the judging, and it'll be according to God's standard. So then verse 3 says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, day of the Lord, right? Talking about all the judgments and stuff. That day will not come except there come a falling away first, and then that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So from this verse, what's going to happen first before the day of the Lord comes? A falling away. And then what happens? The man of sin is revealed. But what happens first is a falling away. And falling away is much better understood as a departure. And, you know, theologians have come up with all kinds of stuff with this verse for many, many years. Best understood as a departure. For that day will not come except there first be a departure. So Jesus Christ did in Matthew 24 and other places speak of the signs of his coming. And they asked him that specifically. What are the signs of your coming? But was his answer, was he talking about the signs of his coming prior to the gathering together? Or was he talking about the signs of the Lord's day, his coming with his angels and saints to the earth? And one more thing to consider before we look a little bit at the kingdom of God. A good question is, have there been events in history over the last 2,000 years that fall into the categories that Jesus Christ spoke about that are recorded in the Gospels? Have there been any wars or rumors of wars? Have there been any plagues? Have there been any earthquakes? And well, yeah, there have been. And you know, it's easy to look up, and I just for fun was looking up some of those things. There's been a lot of crap that's happened in the last 2,000 years. Oh, but now it's different now. Now it's really it. It's really happening now. And I think one of the reasons that people think that it's so obvious that it's happening now, one of the reasons is because of the technology that we have today. In a matter of seconds, we can see the devastation of an earthquake halfway around the world that just happened. We can see it. We can, you know, literally see and hear what's going on all over the world. And most of the things we see are not very pleasant. And then you have Billy in New Jersey who puts on his Facebook or Instagram or X, these are the end times, it's happening. And then Susie in California reads that or sees that, goes, yeah, it is the end times. And so we got all this going on. Maybe if they had technology during the Dark Ages, you know, we've read about what went on in the Dark Ages. Maybe if they had technology then, or maybe even that they didn't have it, people were going, this is it, look at it, look what's going on. or what about the Spanish flu around 1918 or whatever that killed millions around the world? This is it. This must be it. But Scripture is very clear if we take the time to read it and understand it, and how blessed we are that we can apply the principles that we learned in the Walking in God's Power foundational class, how all Scripture interprets itself and to utilize those keys. So let's not get soon shaken or deceived. So as I said, I'm going to share just a little bit about the kingdom of God. And obviously there are people that don't believe in God, that think we came from the mud and the monkeys and a big cosmic explosion somewhere. That's fine. They can believe what they want. But for those of us that believe in God, God Almighty as the creator of the heavens and the earth, we know there has to be a plan, right? God didn't just set all of this stuff up to sit back and watch how it all turned out with no plan. You know, it'd be like somebody getting on top of a mountain with a truck and taking off the emergency brake and then seeing how far it'll go down the hill before it crashes. God didn't do that. God has a plan. Go to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis 1. I am growing in my understanding of the kingdom of God, that particular topic. But in Genesis 1, and you probably remember this, what God did, he had Adam and Eve there, and God said, well, chapter 1, verse 28, God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. And then he said, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And then he went on, behold, I've given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, to every fowl of the air, to everything that creepeth upon the earth wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. So God gave them dominion over all of the earth. There it is. You are in charge. You now have the dominion. And the kingdom of God, or sometimes you read kingdom of heaven, same thing. When you read kingdom of heaven, heaven is a figure of speech. God inhabits the heaven. It's the same thing. But the kingdom of God involves God reigning. And God's original intention was to put Adam and Eve as his under-ruler. And what did he tell them to do? He told them to replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion. You are in charge. It is your reign, having that dominion over everything on earth. So they had the rulership. They had the dominion over all the earth, not over the whole universe. God said, here, this is yours. Part of the devastation of Adam's sin was that rulership, that dominion, the reigning over all the earth that God gave to man was lost. And it was transferred to God's arch enemy, the adversary, the devil, Satan, whatever you want to call him. Look at Luke 4. Because when you read the aftermath of the fall, you see how the devastation how they lost spirit, how now thorns and thistles, the environment was messed up. They no longer had dominion over all the fish of the sea, or they lost that dominion. Well, where did that dominion, that reigning go? It was transferred to the adversary. Luke 4. This is part of the when Jesus Christ was tempted in the wilderness. So we'll read part of it. In verse 5, the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. I don't know how he did that, but he did. And the devil said unto him, all this power, this dominion, this rulership, all this power will I give you, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me. And to whomsoever I will, I give it. Because he was now the ruler. He now had the dominion. Because part of Adam's sin was that rulership was transferred over. I'm going to give it to you if thou therefore will worship me. All shall be thine. I'll give it all to you. Jesus didn't take the bait, as you know. But you know what? Jesus Christ didn't dispute it. He didn't say, no, you don't have all the rulership of the earth. He didn't dispute it. He didn't challenge the validity of it. But he was offered all the kingdoms of the world. Who originally had it? Adam. And so God set out with another plan. God has a plan. We're not just stuck in the weeds. We're not just drifting into oblivion. God has a plan. And so God chose to redeem mankind and restore what was lost. One of the things that Jesus Christ accomplished was that which was necessary for God's kingdom on the earth. Go to Mark, back up to a book, to Mark chapter 1. The kingdom of God, which you read about a lot in the Gospels. Mark chapter 1, verse 14. Now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel, believe the good news. The kingdom of God is at hand. And you can read in the Gospels, both John the Baptist and Jesus Christ spoke about the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven, that it was at hand. If it was already there, you know, if God already had a kingdom here on earth, well, why in the world would they announce that the kingdom of God is here? It's coming. It's at hand. If it was already there. Look at Matthew 12. Back up to Matthew 12. It's a very interesting topic. Matthew 12. Verse 26. Jesus Christ was dealing with the religious leaders again. Matthew 12, 26. And if Satan casts out Satan, he's divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Cast them out. Therefore, they shall be your judges. But, verse 28, if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, which he did, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. This was a clear indication that the kingdom of God was in the process of being restored to God. So, again, the kingdom of God is a real interesting topic. Think about it. How many parables do you read in the Gospels that start with Jesus Christ saying, the kingdom of God is like, da 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 da. The kingdom of heaven is like, so is the kingdom of God. How many parables? A bunch. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of God. Really cool. Remember, Jesus Christ told Nicodemus, except a man be born again or born from above, he shall not enter into the kingdom of God. And I'm, you know, really thankful that the topic, the kingdom of God, is handled in great detail in the Walking in God's Power advanced class. They asked Jesus Christ, show us how to pray. John's disciples pray, teach us how to pray. So he said, okay, pray like this. He didn't say, repeat after me, memorize it, somebody write this down. He said, in this manner pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Kind of start your prayer off with a little reverence to God. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, praying for his kingdom to come. So we don't need to pray that prayer anymore because the kingdom has come. It's one of Jesus Christ's accomplishments. And we know that it has come by reading a verse in Luke chapter 9. We know by Jesus Christ's own words. Luke 9. And in verse 27, Jesus Christ said, but I tell you, we're in Luke 9, 27, but I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste death till they see the kingdom of God. Well, I'm quite sure that those he was speaking about have died, or they'd be very, very old. So isn't that great? The kingdom of God is not the administration of the grace of God, the administration of the mystery. The kingdom of God is God's once again ruling on the earth. It includes the administration of the grace of God, the administration of the mystery, and beyond. And so there's a time coming when there will be judgments. And the scriptures very plainly tell us that God has designated Jesus Christ to be second in command now. He is now God's under-ruler, or has been. He's God's only begotten Son. He's been designated as the one to do the judging. That verse in Acts 17:31. God has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he raised from the dead. So Jesus Christ has been designated as the one to do the judging. And that's the day of the Lord, when Jesus Christ will do the judging. And that would also, you could say, that's the wrath, the time of wrath, the judgment's coming. And we know, we read it when we started, that we're delivered from the wrath to come, not appointed unto wrath, saved from the wrath. We're not going to have to go through all of that. Just as a refresher, Ephesians 1. And you know, I learned a long time ago that just because someone holds up a Bible, just because someone quotes a scripture doesn't necessarily mean it's right. You know, I know Dr. Werwell used to say all the time, don't take my word for it. You read it. You work it for yourself. And that still holds true for all of us. Just because I'm saying it here isn't like, well, it must be true because Mike said it. It must be true because I heard it in the foundational class. Do like they did in Berea. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word and searched the scriptures whether those things were so. And, you know, for me, it's just, I need to see it and understand it from the scriptures. But in Ephesians 1:20, I say that because in that interview, and he was very, you know, convinced and of what he was saying, but he read Matthew 24. He read 2 Thessalonians that we read earlier. See it? See it? But it was wrong. Absolutely wrong. In Ephesians 1, verse 20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that's named, not only in this world or this age, but also in that which is to come. And has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things in the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. That's what God did for Jesus Christ. Adam totally screwed up. But now we have the Lord Jesus Christ. And in 1 Corinthians 15, back up just a bit. 1 Corinthians 15, in verse 27, for he hath put all things under his feet. He, God, has put all things under Jesus Christ's feet. But when he said all things are put under his feet, it's obvious that he, God, is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also be subject unto him, unto God, that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Jesus Christ did everything that God wanted him to do so that there could be full redemption and salvation for mankind, as well as for God once again to have a kingdom or reign on earth. God gave it to Adam, and Adam transferred it to the adversary, because it was Adam's to do what he wanted to do with it, and it was not a good thing. So God had another plan. We're going to have a Redeemer come, going to restore everything, and take care of getting the kingdom of God. And you know, for us, God has the seven church epistles written so that we're not stupid, so that we understand things like Romans says we shall be saved by confessing the Lord Jesus, believing God raised him from the dead. And how Ephesians tells us we're not saved by our works, but we're saved by grace. And how Thessalonians tells us that Christ is going to come back and gather us together, and we're going to meet him in the clouds. So shall we ever be with the Lord. And then we read 2 Thessalonians. I think that's where we're going to close. Yeah, we'll go to 2 Thessalonians. We're going to close there in a couple minutes. But we read in 2 Thessalonians that tells us before the day of the Lord comes, there's first going to be a departure, and that departure is when we get gathered together. And what a day that's going to be. Not only do we get gathered together, not only do we get new bodies, not only do we see our Lord Jesus Christ, but we get to see all of our loved ones, our brothers, our sisters, that have fallen asleep. What a reunion. What a great reunion that's going to be. That's our hope. Our hope is not, okay, let's see if I can survive the wrath that's coming and all the devastation and all of that stuff. God has a plan. And you know, in 1 Thessalonians 4, after it talks about the dead in Christ shall rise, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. The last verse says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. And that word comfort can be translated comfort and also encouragement. So what kind of comfort or encouragement is it to tell people that we are either in that time period now or that it's right around the corner? There's no comfort in that. There's no encouragement in that. It really breeds fear. So you better walk the straight line. Oh, now we're getting into works. Now we're getting into we're approved of God by our works. It's totally contrary to what we read in the scriptures. We are now in the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ is at the right hand of the Father and continues to administer the affairs of his Father as the head of the body. And according to God's word, we have everlasting life now. 2 Thessalonians 2, let's read it again. Verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of the Lord is at hand. The judgment time is here. Wrath is upon us. No. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a departure first, and that man of sin be revealed and the son of perdition. So what do we do in these troubled times that we live in? We believe God's word. We believe him. We believe when we read, like in Ephesians, that it's not about flesh and blood. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual darkness, rulers of the darkness. It is a spiritual fight that we're in. That should be obvious. Not, well, this must be the end times. Look at all the evil in the world. Look at this going on. Look at that going on. Yes, there's a spiritual fight going on. What do? We do what our Father said to do in his word. And we don't get deceived. We don't get all shook up at what's going on around us. It's just a big distraction to get us to be afraid, to get us to be unsure of the truth of God's word that we know, and just, well, it's just exactly what he said. Be not soon shaken in mind. Don't be troubled, neither by spirit or by word. Jesus Christ at the Last Supper said, let not your hearts be troubled. Don't be afraid. So we pray. We love people. We speak God's word. We manifest the Spirit of God. We remember who God said we are in his word. We remember what God said we have in his word. That's what we stay put on. And then finally, verses 15, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, who has loved us and has given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Isn't that beautiful? We just stand. That's what we do. As we wait for the return of our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, he is coming back. And as I said before the teaching started, he's coming back regardless of what people say, regardless of what people do, even if it's total disrespect and mocking our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on the world stage. He's coming back. And guess who's going to do the judging? Hey, you, come here. Come here. And where will we be? In line to be judged? No, we'll be with him. Because Thessalonians says we're going to be gathered together with him, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So, what a day it's going to be. God has a plan. And he's made it very clear in his word. And as the Apostle Paul said, shortly before he died, I have fought the good fight. I have stayed the course. And I have kept the faith, the right way of believing. So we just don't budge. There's some more information, the teaching I did last month on father and son plan. And then back in May, I taught a teaching called the end times. There's more on this. So there's information available so that we don't need to be soon shaken in mind and troubled, and maybe it is wrath. So thank God that we can look at his word and do our best to understand it. Father, thank you for your wonderful word. that you have given to us. And thank you, Father, for those that have labored so that we could have understanding. Thank you for our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we so anticipate that day when you send him back. We're ready now. But until that time, may we just be faithful, stand fast in your word. May we fight the good fight as we finish our courses. And may we, for the rest of our lives, keep the faith, the right way of believing. Thank you for the privilege of sharing your word this morning. I ask you to bless those that are here in this room, those who are on the hookup, and those that may hear the teaching later. Thanks for the great privilege of sharing your word. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.